Morning. Doesn't matter how many times I watch those videos, it gets me excited for the summer, so looking forward to more pictures like that. It's exciting to be here this morning. I was asking Becky if I had talked about in the fall when I was here, if I had mentioned that this was the first church that I attended when I was little. And I don't know why it's emotional, but it was a pretty cool place to go. And Pastor Ed Giesbrick was here when I was just little, and he was kind of my hero. He always used to let me stand at the back and shake people's hands, and when we left, and I looked up to him. For most of my childhood, I would say that I wanted to be a pastor. That would be what I thought I would grow up to do, and just wanted to be just like him. And a lot of days were spent imagining being up here in this church speaking. And you know, I went a different way in my life. I kind of chose my own road at times, but God in his goodness has allowed me to kind of, you know, to be up here this morning. So I'm really thankful for that. So I just want to start to thanking Karen for sharing this morning. Don't know if I could advertise for camp any better than she did, so that was really well done. It's great to hear a different perspective from someone else. So I know most of you are probably anxious to get to the soup, and I know I'm really looking forward to those pies that Darlene is put so much effort into. So I'll try not to talk too long this morning, but I do have quite a bit to say. So I just want to start off with a little bit of an update on camp, where things are going, and what we're looking forward to this summer. And then I want to take a little bit of time just to share from the Word and how God has challenged me in the last couple of years. So the last few months, I would say that it's been a pretty steep learning curve. Often people will approach and ask me, you know, how are things coming together for camp? That's the most common question I get when it comes to camp. And my answer is always, it's good, I think. I really don't know where I'm supposed to be at. I'm hoping things are going the way they should. But, you know, God has been good. He's made it a lot easier for me. I've been really thankful. People have been approaching me and you know, just wanting to know how they can help instead of me having to go out and ask people. One of the things I've noticed is that I get impatient quite a lot. I think the board would see that. Sometimes I want things to get done. I want to rush, and God has been trying to teach me that he has his own timing and that I need to wait on him. I would love to have every position filled by now, but I know that in camp ministry, that's just not how it works. But one position that I felt important to fill early was the program director spot. With Brody not coming back, I was a little apprehensive about this and how that would go. It wasn't actually as difficult as I thought. There's quite a few young people in our area that are capable of filling this role. Dalen Misko has agreed to be our program director this summer. She has been involved in camp for a long time. She's went through the light program. She's counseled. She leads the Alliance Church Youth Group. She's recently married, so we're really excited to have her this summer. Jared Clausen and Geralee are going to head up the light program again, which is really exciting, especially since they did it last year, and having them come back, that takes a load off of me. Also, it looks like Agnes, Gail, and Erwin are all planning to come back if their health sustains them. Again, really a blessing, because I was worried about having, you know, too many new people in key positions at camp, and these are people that are just going to come, they know what to do, and they're just going to have, I don't have to worry about too much. They already know what they're doing. You may already know that we've added another camp this summer, or another week, so there'll be 4 weeks of children's camp. So that brings the total to 8 weeks of camp plus the DIY and staff training. So it'll definitely be a full summer. With more weeks, obviously, comes the need for more staff. So again, I'm encouraged at how many people have already expressed interest in working at camp. And like Karen was talking about, I encourage you to see if God would have you share in this ministry this summer. We're going to have applications and things at the back today, you know, while we're eating or whenever we can, I can help fill those out. Criminal record checks, we can do those as well. So one of the areas of concerns with the staff this summer is the government's new restrictions for the grants. I'm pretty sure a lot of you are aware of this. So this potentially limits some of our staff from working, especially our young people, right? Because they rely on income to pay for school. I know there are many of you like me who are obviously disappointed with the government's direction, but we know that our God is greater. So since we won't be receiving these grants, I have encouraged some of the staff to take part in the Summer Camp Partnership Program, which allows them to raise funds to work at camp. So if you get a letter from one of these young people, please consider helping them, and in turn, helping camp. One of the focuses for this summer is going to be the overall maintenance of camp. This spring, we are looking to tin the boys' dorm, as the roof has been damaged by trees over the last couple of years. And another project we have is we're going to build a separate building to house our water system. That little storage room in the girls' dorm is kind of a little too small for everything that's going on in our water system. The younger people might be happy to hear that we've purchased an attachment for our water bouncer. The best way for me to describe it is it's a climby thing. You climb onto it, and then it has a little, I want to say a mini launcher off the edge of it, so someone can jump onto and then launch someone into the air and into the water. So yeah, I hope it works as the way it's advertised, but we'll see. Might be, yeah, I can envision it being a bit of a headache, but I'm sure there'll be a lot of fun times and tears and stuff like that too. So that kind of, as far as camp, that's kind of where, you know, the camp update portion this morning, just where we're going and what we're doing, and there's always lots of ways to help out. So if you have any questions about camp, please feel free to talk to me, ask me. You know, I love talking about camp. I think I do it all the time. I think most of my students in my car hear about camp nonstop. So for the rest of my time up here this morning, I'd just like to take some time and just share how God has worked in my life. And I touched on this a little bit in the fall, but I would like to just go a little bit deeper and then just share from the Word. So before we do that, if we can just bow our heads and just pray. Heavenly Father, you are a good God. You care about us so much, and you take such good care of us, Lord. You care about those young kids that want to come to camp and learn about you. And I pray that this morning we can just be mindful of that, Lord, and just be mindful of our focus, Lord, and the ways we can serve you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I just touched on it, but I'm not sure how many of you know what I do for a living outside of camp, but I'm a driver instructor. So this is a job I absolutely love. I've been doing it for a long time, I think 15 years, something like that. But it's a job that comes with a lot of scary moments. One of the most common questions students or people ask me, who's your scariest driver? What was your scariest experience? Now, I don't know if this is as scary as I remember, or if it was just because I was so new at my job when this happened, But there is one story that I tell everybody. And so I apologize if I've told you this before. But I was driving with a couple of students from Edam. And we were on our way back to Edam from North Battleford. And, sorry, just the wrong page there. I was trying to be all cool because I was young and I was changing songs on the CD player. And the girl driving turned around and talked to the guy in the back. Like, I mean, at highway speed, she was like, how's it going? Like that. I look up from the CD thing there, and we're heading in the other lane towards a big truck. I grabbed the wheel, jerked it back onto our side. I definitely did not take my eyes off the road the rest of the way back to Edam. But you know, I find, especially, you know, for me and maybe you as well, that our walk with God can be a lot like that. If we take our focus off of Him, we can be headed for some rough times. If you were here in the fall when I shared, you heard me mention that God has encouraged us to make some changes in our life. We felt that God wanted us to be more involved in serving Him, and we felt led to downsize to give ourselves more flexibility to do this. I was excited. I was pumped up to do that, but I was not prepared for the way things would go after. Life seemed harder, not easier. I struggled finding peace. I lost my focus of where God was taking me. So if you have your Bibles with you, I'd encourage you to open them and turn. I'll be reading from Psalm 73. I just want to start by reading the first, I think, five verses of Psalm 73 this morning. I don't put glasses on, Karen. I just got to hold the Bible up close. Surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost slipped. I had nearly lost my foothold, for I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. They have no struggles. Their bodies are healthy and strong. They are free from common human burdens. They are not plagued by human ills. Just so far. So verse 1 here starts off with this statement we all know. God is good. He was good to Israel. He is good to us. But sometimes we forget. I know I do. And that's where I was at. My heart, I was thinking, why are things so difficult if I'm doing what you want, God? But then the answer for me comes in verse 2 and 3. But as for me, my feet had almost slipped. I had nearly lost my foothold, for I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. I was looking at people around me, people in my life that had lots, whose focus in life was to get more stuff. I wasn't thinking about what I had or what God had done for me, just on what I didn't have. You know, when I was going through this time a couple of years ago, I thought about changing careers. I thought a job that made more money wouldn't be bad. I could have more freedom, go on more holidays, you know, all the good stuff. I even started taking a class by correspondence to further this process. Now, deep in my heart, I think I knew this wasn't what God had wanted for me. But I convinced myself that this was the right thing to do. You know why? Because I lost my focus. I took my eyes off of God and where He wanted me to go. I was looking at the people around me, what they were doing, and how they seemingly had it so easy. Verses 4 and 5 talk about how they have no struggles, they are not plagued by human ills, free from common human burdens. I think that's often how we see it. that others have it so easy. Now, these things here, they deal with the physical, the material side of humanity, the things the world cares about. 1 John 2:15 and 16 says, "Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever." It's so easy to do, though, isn't it? Take our focus off what God has for us and turn to the things of this world. Money, toys, sports, even trips, they can take our focus off of God. Now, please hear me out. I'm not condemning wealth or fancy things or good life. I believe God allows for those things in our lives, but He wants our focus on Him. When we do this, I believe our life is filled with peace, no matter the situations we are going through. You know, I didn't make it very far on that course I was taking. The discipline, the determination, just weren't there. A few months later, I applied at a job within SGI, thinking that might be the answer. But really, those things would make it harder to be more involved in serving God, not easier. That summer, I ended up working at camp for most of the summer. Not by my design, but by God's. God showed me that camp was where I belonged. And more importantly, that serving Him was what I needed to be doing. The career I have, the lifestyle He has called us to, allows for this. So I just want to look back at Psalms, and I want to Psalm 73 there, and just flip over to the end of that chapter and read from 21 to the end. "When my heart was grieved and my spirit embittered, I was senseless and ignorant. I was a brute beast before you. Yet I am always with you. You hold me by my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will take me into glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Those who are far from you will perish. You destroy all who are unfaithful to you. But as for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the sovereign Lord my refuge. I will tell of all your deeds." I love what verse 25 says. "Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you." I didn't need anything else, anything the world had. My desire needed to be for Christ. This isn't something that I've completely learned or mastered, but God is continuing to teach me to focus on Him. And my life will go the way He wants it. And there is peace and contentment in that. The psalmist wraps it up nicely in verse 28. "But as for me, it's good to be near God. I have made the sovereign Lord my refuge. I will tell of all your deeds." This is where I want to be, near the Lord, and I trust you do too. So my challenge this morning to you is, where is your focus? What are you looking towards? You know, whether it's at camp, in your church, at your job, school, God has a plan for us. If we are seeking this plan, we will be content no matter our lot in life. And we will go straight on the road God has laid out for us. So before I close, I just want to take a minute to encourage you guys to come up to camp this summer. I understand not everybody can work there. I'm not asking you, not everybody, come up and work, but come up, have a coffee, say hi. I know last year there people would do that, and John's face would light up, and he was just so excited to tell people what was going on. So I think that would be, you know, a real encouragement for us and for the rest of the staff. Just come up, check it out, see what's going on. I'm not saying you have to work. If you want to come up there and work right on, that's great. But just come up, say hi, and have a coffee with us. Thank you for letting me be here this morning, and I'm looking forward to fellowshipping after with the lunch. Thank you.
Thank you, David, for that. Thank you for your sharing about camp and also your vulnerability with your story and what you've been learning. And Karen, thank you for sharing. Thank you for your obedience over the years. I remember as a little kid, Karen was one of the fun leaders at camp, her and Maggie. I remember that. As I was walking out the door this morning, Dieter kind of grabbed my attention just as I was literally walking out. He said, "Dad, can I play your phone during church?" I said, "No, son, you can't. Sorry, we don't do that at church." He's like, "Why? Because we might miss communion?" And I said, "Well, I don't know." He's like, "Communion's the best part." And I agree, it is. Communion is the best part. We celebrate our union with the Lord. Although over the last two centuries, the church has kind of been controversial over this. They've disagreed. And some of the main things that they've disagreed over are, number one, who can administer the Lord's Supper and who can take it. And the second big concern or controversy has been over what happens to the elements at communion or at the Lord's table. It had been believed for hundreds of years that the bread would actually become Jesus' body and the cup would become literally Jesus' blood. And there's been a lot of disagreement over that, but the Protestant reformers came to the conclusion that out of Scripture, there's no basis for that. As an evangelical church, we believe that this is a celebration, this is symbolic, this represents what he's done for us. He has gone to the cross, his body has been broken, his blood has been shed, and we celebrate that together by taking symbolically these elements. Now, as for who can take it, the Bible is pretty clear that this is for believers. Back in Scandinavia and other parts of Europe, the church and the state were one, and so everyone had to be baptized into the church as an infant, and that represented that they were part of not only the church but also the state. Later on, when they were confirmed, they would take communion as a sign that they were part of the church, and so it was almost proof to everyone else that they belong to the country and the church. And we, I guess we reject that as well. The Bible teaches that this is for believers. This is for those who acknowledge Jesus Christ as their Lord, who have acknowledged that he is the only way to salvation. In fact, he is our salvation, just as the song is sang, that we sang presented. Now, as for who can administer the Lord's table, maybe that is something that the evangelical church has not walked away from as much as we should have. The Catholic Church, the Orthodox Church, believes that clergy has a special place within the church as far as hierarchy, that they are just a little bit step above the rest. They are closer to God, and they are only allowed to serve the elements. But as the evangelical church, we don't believe that. We believe that anyone who has faith in Jesus Christ is acceptable before him, that we're all on level ground. And so I want to apologize publicly for continuing in this tradition where we have the pastors the only ones serving communion. I'm sorry for that. And I personally feel bad for not training others to serve in this capacity, just as a nonverbal way of saying that we are a body of Christ. I am not, I'm not closer to God than any one of you. So I'm gonna ask my servers to come forward, and we will celebrate together. The Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, took bread, and after he had given thanks, he broke it. He said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
and stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good father. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. Good, good Father. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am.
Let's eat together. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink of it."
Searching for answers far and wide, but I know we're all searching for answers. Only you provide, because you know just what we need before we say a word. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. To us, you are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. To us, oh love, so undeniable. Speak peace so unexplainable. I can hardly think as you call me deeper still as you call me, deeper still as you call me, deeper still into love, love, love. You're a good, good Father, it's who you are, it's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am.
Let's drink together. Can I ask you to stand and we'll close with a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for this table. I thank you for what it represents, Lord. I thank you that it points to you. These are signs that simply point to our Lord and Savior. God, you have sacrificed everything for us, and what other response can we have other than to say thank you out of gratitude? Lord, I thank you for the cross. I thank you for the resurrection. I thank you for the life that you have given all of your children through your Holy Spirit. I thank you for forgiving us, Lord, and giving us hope and purpose in this world. And Lord, now as we share a meal together with the camp in mind, I pray that I pray that your Spirit would still be resonated in our fellowship and in our conversations. In Jesus' name, amen.